Welcome to AmiSites, a podcast that offers you access to thought leaders who can help you expand your entrepreneurial toolbox. Learn from seasoned entrepreneurs who have already walked in your shoes and can help you with your day-to-day business decisions. Join the founder and CEO of Multifunding, Ami Kassar, and his co-host, Lynn Ozer, the president of Multifunding, aka the SBA Queen, as they help you navigate, grow, and stay in control of your business.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the newest edition of AmiSites. I'm Ami Kassar, your host, along with my co-host, Lynn Ozer, aka SBA Queen. So excited to have my friend Laura Meyer with us. Laura is the founder and principal and CEO of Joy Brand Creative. I'm going to tell you a story, a secret story about Laura and I before we start.
Years and years ago
when I just started my speaking journey, I somehow got convinced to do a first gig for a Vistage group down in Delaware. And it was a cold, snowy day, and I screwed the entire thing up, and Laura was in the audience. And I think I did not get a good enough score to get recommended as a speaker, but that's how you learn. And that's how my friendship with Laura begun. We've each gone through different paths since then. Laura was in a different business at the time. So that's how we all begun. And welcome, Laura, from that snowy day in Delaware. Here we are.
Thank you so much. And for the record, I would have never given you a negative review. So it must have been everybody else in the room. It was for sure not me. It was for sure not me. I was probably the only woman in the room. So we'll blame the guy.
Laura, tell us a little bit about yourself, your story, your background, how you've gotten to where you are today.
Yeah. So I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years. I started in my early 20s as a wedding photographer. Spent my 20s as a wedding photographer, grew to be one of the top wedding photographers between New York and DC and photographed celebrity weddings. And then in my early 30s.
Wait one second. Is that what, did you go to school to be a photographer?
No.
Was that your passion?
I love photography. Oh. I don't do it as much anymore, but I do love it. And I mainly just do it for fun with my kids at this point and haven't photographed professionally in a long time. Okay. And then in my early 30s, I was starting to think about having a family and didn't really want to work weekends anymore. And my husband was kind of just hanging out with himself every Saturday. And so I ended up starting a chain of children's portrait studios and franchised it and grew it. And then about 7 years ago, I pivoted out of that entire space. And that was a really hard decision. I spent about a year not growing the business anymore, basically trying to fix it. But ultimately, what was happening in the photography industry was just too much of a momentum away from professional photography that I was ever going to be able to keep up with. And sort of saw the writing on the wall. And it was hard because I'd been in the industry for 15 years and I was really considered the top of the field at that time, and ended up shutting down my franchise, closing my locations, and got into online marketing. So for the last, I would say about almost 7 years, it was almost 7 years ago that I shut everything down. I started doing some fractional CMO work, and now I do both consulting as well as sell info products online passively. So it's been really a great pivot, but it was really hard.
So what was the hardest part about pivoting? I mean, watching the business go down, I'm guessing it's because of the advent of how great the phones are with the pictures and the camera that people don't pay anymore for professional photographers.
I mean, it really just depends on the sub niche that you're in. Like, for sure, there's people who are still doing really well with professional photography, but our business model had changed so much and the franchise was based on an old business model. And, you know, with lots of square footage and high ticket portrait studio pricing, and it wasn't, once you're in a franchise, you're locked in and it's almost impossible to change the business model. So I would have loved to go to a smaller footprint. I would have loved to change our pricing to reflect what the market wanted and needed at that time. But I was kind of I was not a speedboat at that point. I was a ferry, you know, and unfortunately turning it into a speedboat wasn't going to work. That's probably the best way I can describe it.
Wow, that's interesting.
So now I only run speedboats. I do not run ferries because I kind of learned the hard way. But yeah, once you have people in a federally regulated contract with, you know, income you know, income statements that were based on old models, it's really, really hard. Yeah. So, I mean, really the hardest part was just catastrophic loss. I mean, from financial to emotional to relationships, it was the hardest thing I've ever been through in entrepreneurship. And now it's funny, I see other people go through it where they've built a big ferry and the external environment changes, which is happening every day in online marketing. And I'm actually mentoring somebody right now at no charge because he posted a video, a big influencer, on how he just had to let go of his entire staff. And he's been spending years trying to make it the heyday that it was. And I just reached out to him and I was like, listen, I've been there. Like, if you want to talk, I'm here. And he was so happy.
That's awesome.
But I just think that happened. You know, if you're in business long enough, you see these kinds of things happen and they do make you better, but they're really hard to go through.
Tell us about that decision to shut that down, how you went through it, the stages, how you got to that tough decision.
Yeah, because you saw behind the scenes of some of it because you helped with financing with some of our franchisees. You know, I spent about a year just not growing. Because the last thing I wanted to do was try to sell something, and I wasn't going to sell somebody into something that like I wasn't 100% sure was going to keep going. So I paused on sales and I really tried to just fix the business model. Just tried to, and you know, what I saw was about a 50% decline in spend in about an 18-month period. So I saw that it was happening. And again, there are really good sub niches in photography. In fact, one of my, because I now do high-end fractional CMO work, one of my clients is a multi seven-figure business in the photography niche, but it's very sub-niche and it's low overhead and low volume and high ticket. And I think if you're going to do photography, that's probably the model. We were high volume and high ticket. And so I saw that change happening. Spent about a year trying to fix it. I think the franchisees were definitely like, extremely concerned and probably lost faith in the model while I'm trying to fix it. And then ultimately I just said, you know what? We are in a 10-year contract and technically I could go after you, but I'm not going to because I don't think it's your fault that the business isn't doing well. So I'm going to release you from the contracts. And I sold off my location. I just closed my location and I didn't know what I was going to do next, but it was hard. I mean, there was lots of lawyers involved. There was just huge financial loss for my family. And now I can talk about it kind of neutrally, but I mean, I didn't leave the house for about 6 months.
Well, I mean, it's like losing a child, God forbid.
It was.
I mean, 100%. You birthed this. So I it's did. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And
the
I was
emotional
in the
part is devastating. Yeah.
It was a devastating loss. I was in the industry for 15 years. I was in Working Mother, Forbes, Inc. You know, I had all the accolades. And, you know, at a certain point, we were one of the top five studios in the country in terms of profitability from the Professional Photographers of America. So to go from that to total loss was very humbling. I'm going to say the hardest part was my personal journey after that, like the healing and forgiving myself for, you know, going big on something that didn't work out. You know, it was really hard.
Do you have a lot of liability with yes. the franchisees?
No.
Oh.
Without getting into like
no,
the details.
Right.
It's just messy. You know, I tried to make the best decision I could for them, but it's still messy.
Did any of the franchisees make it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think they rebranded. I think they reduced their overhead. I think they did what they needed to do. And that was my hope, you know, like it was never my intention. And I didn't do anything other than create something that didn't work out, you know?
So there was no yeah. way to predict that.
Yeah, there was for sure finger pointing. But at the end of the day, you know, when we opened up my books and showed them the inside of the business, I did nothing wrong. And I knew that. And I knew that would just come out over time.
It's interesting because, you know, we coach a lot of entrepreneurs here. And sometimes people call pretty desperate. And sometimes in my head, I'm like, they should shut that thing down.
Yeah.
Right. And they should take their losses and they should move on with their life or declare bankruptcy or whatever it is, or they're not going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And yet it's not really my place to say, because many entrepreneurs, I know we certainly went through many near-death experiences for the first few years, right? And so who am I to tell somebody to shut it down. I can caution them about the risks they're taking about a particular path that they're considering. But it's a really interesting decision. And ultimately, I think like yours, it's a personal decision. But when you do it, it sounds like you did, you need a village of support around you because it's also complicated.
It's very complicated. And I went on kind of a tour of people that I knew through Vistage. I'd go and visit them in their offices, people who I knew had near-death experiences in business. And ultimately, I just, every time I tried to open a door, it closed. And I'm like, I just don't think that this is salvageable. I got to that point and it was a really hard realization. I remember sitting with the head of a big agency in Philadelphia who was a friend of a friend. And he said he would sit with me, a big marketing agency, which is funny because now I'm on that side. I do a lot of, you know, marketing and fractional CMO work. And he's like, sometimes it's hard to know, is it something that you can fix or not? Or is it just the market? You know, and he's like, it might just be the market. And I think it was, you know, for anyone who's listening, who's going through something like that, it's extremely difficult. And I think, and I did go through personal bankruptcy and it was horrifying. And, you know, I'll just say like, it is just get a good attorney who knows bankruptcy and business. But it was, you know, at this point, it'll be off my credit like this year. And the 7 years goes by pretty fast. And in the meantime, you know, I've created a business where I can pay for everything in cash. And you know, and I think when you go through something like that, you learn so much that you can create something new and you have to believe in your ability to create something new. And it's hard to know, like, do you keep going or do you close up? Seth Godin has a book called The Dip, which is really good for anyone who's going through something like that to determine what is your best path forward. But I would just say for me, you know, thank God we would have never made it through COVID, never. You know, so this happened in 2018. 2 years wow. later, we'd have never survived it. By that point, I had a killer business. You know, I was probably netting, even in 2020, I was netting about triple my income, working probably 20% of the hours. You know, and so thank God, you know, and then my husband and I had a third baby, which was very much unplanned and unexpected. And so I was able to enjoy a pregnancy and a maternity leave and have this amazing business going. And so, you know, I think we can always reinvent ourselves. We have that ability and that permission to create something new from the ashes of maybe something that didn't work out. And when you talk to experienced entrepreneurs, they all have that story. And, you know, and that was mine. And I think now I look back on that person who was going through that and I just want to give her a hug. You know, like if you're listening to that and you're going through that, it's like I can just say you will survive it. You know, this too shall pass. And trust in your own ability to take whatever you like about yourself and your business and your entrepreneurial skills into creating something new. You have full agency to do that. And there are certain times where you just need to trust that.
To really, people really. That are going through it, I'm sure yeah. they're getting a lot out of it. This is heart-wrenching and yet encouraging at the same time to see where you've taken yourself. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I really don't even know. I'm like blown away by your story. And I'm so impressed that you are where you are. Yeah. And the picking yourself back up by the bootstraps is really the thing that people need to take away from this. Like you can be down, but you're not out.
No.
Laura, if you look back retrospectively for the first few years of that venture or several years about it, are there things, and sometimes it takes time to learn lessons. And I also say, don't cry over spilled milk. You got to move on, which you've done, which is amazing. But are there things retrospectively you might have considered doing differently that might not have gotten you where you were?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is one of my biggest regrets on there's certain points, you know, in that journey that I see other people that were where I was in the photo industry that have made a similar path to what I wished I had done. And they are so successful. So woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? But I think franchising is a huge undertaking. It's very expensive. On average, franchisors don't make money until their break even is about $2 million. you don't want to believe that, or you don't think that that's the case. And most franchisors don't make it. So if we look at like just franchising as an industry and how risky it is, how much compliance it requires and the financial investment, it is so, I don't want to put anyone against franchising, but it's one of those things that I think people, you have a successful brick and mortar, people are like, you should franchise it. And you're like, great. But I know a lot of people like me that made it to maybe a dozen locations and it fell apart for a lot of different reasons. It's extremely risky. Really risky for you, but it's risky for the people that you're selling to because you're a startup franchise and anything can happen. And I think a lot of our franchisees were probably, you know, at the end of the day, probably didn't necessarily want to admit to that risk, but we all took a huge risk together.
Do you regret franchising?
Yeah, I would have 100% turned what I knew into info products, which is what I do now. It doesn't require any startup. You can sell coaching. You can sell consulting. I wanted, there was a little bit of ego in me at that time. I wanted to see my brand across the country, you know? And now looking back on it, a lot, I could have been like, come to my studio for a week and pay me $10,000 and I'll teach you how to do everything and then go. You know, and in retrospect, that would have probably sold really well. And I didn't have any risk, you know, with it. Maybe it's not, maybe the long-term upside wouldn't have been the same as franchising, but it also wouldn't have had the risk. It would have had the immediate cash. I wouldn't have needed the overhead that I had to have for franchising. So I think, you know, today I think about it really differently. I was what I might call a business maximalist, you know, at that time. I wanted a big business, big infrastructure. It's what a lot of us see as the success path when we have a concept that's doing really well. But now I'm business minimalist. It's like, how can I do this with the least amount of overhead, the least amount of staff? How can I make this as simple as possible? How can I work as little as possible in my business to get the biggest result? And I think that way about everything I do in my business right now. Like, how can I make this as passive as possible? How can I spend as little much? Because it's not just the money you can't get back, it's the time. Right? It's the time. It's the late nights. It's the time away from your family. And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I'm not willing to make that exchange anymore. So I think for me, I think about business a lot differently. But you talk to somebody that had a huge successful exit with a franchise, and they're going to tell you something totally different. I have several friends that were on the same path I was on. I met them through franchising, and I just saw one last week have a big exit. You know, so it, you're going to hear different perspectives based on who you're talking to. But I have matured a lot into a place where I am very interested in wealth, long-term wealth creation, not short-term cash flow, and creating lots and lots of margin in my business, financial and time margin.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question about the franchising, but don't you feel like every time I think about franchising, I think for franchisees, from their perspective, not the franchisor, they're offered a wealth of information from the franchisor. I mean, they pay for it in franchise fees, but don't you think the people that bought your franchise are better off for having known you and learned from you and got all of the things that you offered to them in the franchise?
That is not for me to say. You know, that's their journey. That's their story. That is not, you know, I have my own.
You can hope that anyway.
I can hope, you know, but here's another thing I had to learn the hard way is other people's thoughts about me are not my business. You know, you can't control them. You can't manage them. I wish I could. I wish I could say, oh, I wish everybody was thinking positive things about me. They're probably not, you know, and I think that's okay. Like, I have to be okay with that. And I get to create my own
story.
Path forward, right? Like, I get to choose the story that I live in, and they get to choose the story they live in. And that has nothing, I can't, it's really not productive for me to have any thoughts about that.
Awesome. All right. Fascinating. Great story. Great lessons. I have a friend I want you to talk to, but we're not going to mention her online live, who I think you could be really helpful to. But now let's go to the transition. So you mourn this for a few months.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're still dealing with legal stuff. And now how do you start to think about whatever is next?
Yeah. So I put out a text to my friends who are franchisors. And I was like, hey, guys, thanks so much for your mentorship. I was part of a group of female CEOs, and I was kind of the baby of the group. A lot of them were much more further along. And I was like, you know, I've just decided that I'm not going to push this forward. I don't think the market, I don't have enough. You know, it's like where Wayne Gretzky says, like, go where the puck is headed. This is not where the puck is headed. I don't have enough momentum, market momentum, and I'm not going to fight this, you know, anymore. And so one by one, you know, they were like, I'm so sorry. And they reached out to me and they were like, I think you're a brilliant marketer. Would you help me with my marketing? Would you look at some of our funnels? Or, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. Because really as a CEO, you know, my marketing and sales skills were more, yeah, I think everybody, every CEO kind of has their subset of skills, and mine was definitely more on the marketing and sales side. So I was selling a luxury product that no one needed. So I had to have that skill. And so what I ended up doing is getting into branding work, fractional CMO work. I found it pretty natural for me to be able to do as a former CEO, and worked on some franchise brands. And then I saw what was happening in the internet marketing space when I was running my old company. Like, I was looking and being like, wow, this is awesome. And that's why I think my regret is not getting into it earlier. One of my big regrets, but I was like, this is so easy. You can do this from home. There's no overhead. It's like the profit margins on the products are amazing because they're all info products. And I was old school, long time ago, selling DVD sets and info, you know, information products in their physical form in the photo industry. I was selling, like, you know, business education, and it was extremely successful and profitable. And that's why I wished I had kind of stayed with it and moved online with it. But I was like, well, now I'm going to do it. So I just started developing different products, started creating content online. At first, it was really hard for me because I was so afraid of showing up again. And then over time, I just ended up, you know, time heals. And I ended up, you know, creating Instagram, YouTube, sales funnels, info products. So in addition to the consulting that I do, which I'm usually full for consulting, I typically don't take any new clients year over year. I have some private equity firms and some partnerships. I do a lot of work with the University of Notre Dame's economics department, and they send me a ton of work. And I just keep my consulting going, and that's been really great. And then I sell my info products passively. I have information products on how to become a consultant, how to become a fractional CMO. I just created a new product and how to create digital products. And if people watch my content or my YouTube channel or my Instagram, and they're like, wow, I really, you know, would like to learn from her, they can buy it at any price point between $97 and $997. I don't do any fulfillment on the back end. They just watch it. And if they want, they're very motivated, there's checklists and ways for them to implement the information. And, you know, it's inexpensive for them. And it's great for me because it's a way that I can scale without my time.
Love it. So there's no in-person coaching with those. They're buying a virtual course, pay as they go. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So it's one-time payment. You know, I like, this is again, what I really like. You know, I realized with my old business, there were so many strings attached, and now it's kind of like, and if somebody's freaking out and they're really unhappy, which has honestly never happened, I'd be like, here's your $200 back. Have a good day. Like, you know, there's no harm, no foul, right? I like that lightness in my business. And then I don't do any coaching or anything like that. I used to, but my consulting business was just more lucrative and grew to a point where I couldn't do both. And so I now just, everything is just straight courses and information products outside of my consulting business.
Do you have a team or is it just you?
Great question. I operate only with an overseas OBM, which is an online business manager. So I have freelancers, editors, I have somebody helping me with social media content, but I travel light these days. You know, and I think once you go through something like what I did, you know, there are certain things that you need to heal from and certain things that stick with you. And, you know, traveling light and leaving lots of margin for error and lots of profit margin in case a consulting client unexpectedly falls off, you're like, no worries. I'm cool.
I know you're doing some speaking. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of speaking. I actually have a friend who is really well known in the speaking space. And she's like, Laura, you need to be telling your story. You need to be on stages. But the truth is I have three little kids, 3, 9, and 11, and they're not going to be these ages for a long time. So I'm not traveling very much. I travel to Notre Dame once a year, and I love that work that I do with them because it's all nonprofit growth, and it's super rewarding. And I've just made a lot of time in my schedule for it because I really think it's part of my legacy work. It's just the most amazing feeling to be able to help with what they do. And then I travel a couple times a year for masterminds and things. But for the most part, I'm not speaking, not on stages. I'm enjoying my life, making up for lost time.
There's always time for that. You can do that when they grow up. And then you'll have that much more information under your belt that you'll be able to share. And it's all good.
I only work when they're in school. So 9 to 4. And then I play tennis about 4 or 5 times a week. So it fits in there. And anything that doesn't fit into those, you know, to basically 20 hours a week, I don't do.
No, I love it because we haven't talked in a long time, Laura, but I think I could safely say that your stress level today is exponentially lower than the last couple of times we spoke.
Yeah, I'm a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it comes back to the point of almost like, I think it's so important that every entrepreneur find their own lane and be comfortable in their own skin. And we have these thing called entretypes. Sometimes I give that talk about kind of 8 different entrepreneur types, and it tries to debunk what I call the Inc. 5000 myth, or that you've got to be big and bold and growing and scaling and fast and to be happy. And you don't.
You don't. I have about 4x the salary today that I had with a $3 million business.
Figure that, right?
Under $1 million in revenue.
Mm-hmm. Go figure that.
Yep. So it's about the net. You know, and it's about that 12 to 4 Monday through Thursday work schedule for me.
Go figure that.
It's amazing.
So you have some classes about people thinking about getting into coaching.
Yeah.
Are there any tips about that on a high level you can share?
You know, it's interesting. One of the biggest things I see people struggle with when they get into anything online, whether it is, and this is still an adjustment for me, whether it is being a content creator, because for the, you know, if you were to describe what I do, I'm a content creator, basically internet marketer, consultant, like the 3 hats I play. And being a content creator, it's a lot of mindset. And getting good in a consulting role is a lot of mindset. And I would say about 80% of what makes what I do today successful is mindset. A lot of people think it's skill set. And I do have a certification program where I share like my method, my delivery method, my pricing, how I sell, how I structure my consulting services so that it's not just like you're delivering thin air, like you're delivering a plan and, you know, how to build out that plan and how to deliver on the plan. But it's a lot of who am I to? And I think a lot of women do this more than men, not to generalize, but who am I to give them advice on how to run their business? Who am I to? And I mean, I don't get into it with a lot of people, but I'm like, who am I to? You know, I lost everything. You know, we can all have that story. We can all have a story that we live in, which one story is, who am I to? And the other story is, everything that I've done up until this point has created the value that I'm showing up with today. And we get to decide. It's kind of like when you'd ask me about the franchisees and what's their story. I'm like, gosh, they get to decide. They get to be in any story they want to be in, which will create either positive or negative results in their life, of which is none of my business, right? If I want to be a purple unicorn, I can be a purple unicorn. Like nobody can say who I am and who I'm not. They can have thoughts about it, but those thoughts have nothing to do with me. I get to decide the story that I live in as a result of my life and business experience to date. So if I want this particular result, I want a $1 million business where I'm working 20 hours a week with one employee, which is what I'm working towards. What are the thoughts that are going to give me that result? We'll only choose those thoughts, right? And this is really important that a lot of people miss. They think it's about the tactics. It's not, right? It is about how we think about our work.
I totally agree.
Great advice.
I love it. What should we have asked you that we didn't?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm really good when people ask me questions. I can respond to any question. Put me on stage with a keynote and I'm like, oh, man, I got to come up with this from scratch.
How do people get your products? How do they find out about them online?
Yeah, good question. So if they're watching my YouTube channel, it depends on the channel. They would opt into typically a free resource. And on the back end of the free resource, they would be offered a program that they could buy.
What's the name of the YouTube?
just my name, Laura Meyer. You could do Laura Meyer Creative. And then if you go to my Instagram, so a lot of my info products I sell out of my personal brand. And then my consulting company is called Joy Brand Creative. And if you go to my Instagram, which is Laura E. Meyer, I'm on Instagram much more than LinkedIn. You can just go to my profile and I have products listed for sale.
Terrific.
So yeah, so it's really because it's low ticket. You don't need a super complicated sales funnel. People can look at it and be like, yes or no. I do help my clients build very complicated sales funnels, but mine are very simple. And I make it easy for people to buy if they're interested. But ultimately, I think, gosh, what if you should have asked? I don't know. What else are you curious about?
It's all good. I love your story. I think it's a great story to share. I think it's very, very helpful. And, you know, I always say to people, life never goes in a straight line.
No.
And business doesn't go in a straight line either. And you are a living proof and success of that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for me because tomorrow is the 14th birthday of multi-funding. Sometimes I think about whether I was crazy or not, but I got fired from my big fat corporate job on Friday by the bankruptcy trustees in the Great Recession. And I started multi-funding on Saturday.
Awesome.
And I don't cry over the spilled milk.
Yeah.
I try to think back about the lessons I learned and how I can apply them to my new life, but I don't cry over the spilled milk.
Yeah, it does make you pretty anti-fragile. You know, like people will say to me, oh my gosh, my sales funnel didn't work. And I was like, that's not a problem. You know what a problem is? I've been through problems. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does. I don't obviously say that. I completely understand. Let's take a look at the numbers and see what they say. But it does. Once you go through something like that, you really can go through anything. You're like, I can handle anything in business at this point. I will never go through that again, for sure. I will never take that kind of risk again. I will never put myself in that kind of position or my family in that kind of position again. But, you know, hard feelings, like you go online, you occasionally get haters, like you're kind of like, cool, like, great, you know, glad, hope that works out for you. But yeah, it does make you pretty resilient.
My son is now 23 and amazing, but he was born as a preemie 11 and a half weeks early. And I have in my office at home a picture of him. I was holding him in the palm of my hand with tubes coming out of his ears and his nose and stuff like this in the NICU. And whenever I think I'm having a shitty day,
yeah,
I go find that picture and everything's good.
Yeah, yeah. My hardest day in internet marketing was my easiest day in brick and mortar. Yeah. You know, so you get to that point where you're like, okay, you know, like things are really good. So I'm glad to hear that about your son.
Laura, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And it's great to catch up.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing the intimate details. I think you have reached a lot of people with your honesty. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today on OmniSites. Since 2010, multifunding has helped businesses achieve their biggest growth goals through creative and personalized funding solutions, working with a network of the nation's top lenders. Visit us at multifunding.com, where you can meet our advisory team and learn more about how we help entrepreneurs fund their future.